The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bill O'Donnell again joining us on the Ring Central Hotline. Bill, welcome back to the show from RBS Securities, where he's the lead bond strategist.
Oh, thank you very much.
So this auction, you know, is there, it just seems, we know the Fed's buying a lot.
Yep.
And that's why it's always hard to say, to really understand just how strong the demand is or isn't. But certainly between the U.S. government and other investors, it looks like there's plenty of demand for bonds.
Yeah, certainly. You know, we have the Fed taking out, if we assume the present pace of quantitative easing through the end of this year, we have them removing 95% of the net expected supply of agency MBS and Treasury. So without a doubt, that one demand source is the dominant one.
But the difficulty
with today's relatively weak auction was the fact that the Fed is not buying in the three-year sector. Indeed, they just finished selling the sector in Operation Twist. Volumes have really collapsed, three-year yields near the bottom end of six-month ranges. So not terribly surprising, but still a pretty weak auction.
I mean, that's pretty phenomenal, Bill. 95% of the supply?
Of the net supply that we expect for this year in agency MBS and Treasuries.
Is that a good thing? I mean, just, quite apart from the efforts that the Fed are, is making to try and, reduce unemployment, et cetera. I mean,
yeah.
Is this a good thing?
Well, I guess it depends on your view of what the Fed's policy actions are. They think it's a good thing. They're trying to drive real rates where they can negative. And in many ways, the Treasury market, for the Fed at least, is a means to an end. And what they're trying to do is to cram rates down by taking all the supply out, basically front-running other investors to force those investors into riskier and higher-yielding assets, including the housing market, equities, high-yield debt, and even overseas bonds. And so far, they've been quite successful.
So at this point, if when I look at the yield, and it seems like just a crazy low yield, though. I mean, it's 0.342% on three-year paper,
But what's amazing is that if you just look at the range in three-year yields over the last 12 months, yields have been basically between 27.5 basis points and 43.5 basis points for the last 12 months. This is not a new phenomenon, but the optics of rates are certainly startling and have been for the last year.
John Sylvia was on the show recently from Wells Fargo, and one of his concerns is that no one knows. This is a big exaggeration, but it's so hard to know how to price a security because the Fed has distorted the yield curve, just the outright level of yield, so much.
Well, they're distorting it for a reason, as I mentioned before. Again, we're a means to an end. The Fed is trying to force investors out of treasuries by the very low rate levels to seek higher-yielding assets everywhere. And as long as they feel that this is the monetary lever, or the most important one, along with language, that they can push, we expect this rate repression to maybe continue for another 6 to 8 months.
Bill, a lot of discussion about quantitative easing, bond purchases, what it's done to the bond market, this question of, really having a sense of where the market is. I guess is that one of the issues for investors now, that we know at some point the Fed will taper off? It may not be anytime soon. It may not even be this year. But that when it does, it's just harder to know where you want to own any of this paper, and particularly if the European debt crisis isn't raging, because that's one of the things that helped drive yields so low.
Yeah, you ask the same questions that I hear from clients all the time. What about the Fed? And I think it's pretty clear from, reading, all of the Fed speeches in this new transparent communication strategy that they have, that the Fed really has no clue about what to do with quantitative easing other than to keep going at the present pace. Certainly Friday's employment disappointment probably cements that view. So therefore, investors are really left with a barren landscape in treasuries that is barren of yield. And so the way we like to look at the market is to sort of move up to 5 or 10,000 feet and to look at the global safe haven markets comparatively. Simply because the U.S. has shown more growth than other safe haven countries, our yields are at least commensurate, if not cheap, to other markets. You know, 30-year Treasury bond yields are roughly the same as UK 30-year yields, but significantly cheap to German 30-year yields, Canadian 30-year yields, and especially Japanese 30-year yields.
Yeah, how do the Japan QE, well, we shouldn't call it QE, I guess, but the liquidity measures that the Bank of Japan took, how did that impact the U.S. Treasury market, Bill?
Well, I think what it's done is put a little bit more interest back in the 30-year bond. It's been a much maligned sector of the curve in recent months. We saw pretty strong statistical and anecdotal evidence that that's where many of the leverage players in the marketplace place their shorts, specifically in curve steepening trades like owning fives against a short position in bonds, a trade that provides them with positive carry and positive roll down, which is what they always look for. So we went into Friday's non-farm payroll number and the BOJ announcement with a pretty hefty short in the back end of the curve. And just as evidenced by the 12 basis point flattening of that curve, one of the biggest moves in months on Friday after non-farm payroll, it does appear that a good number of those shorts have covered. And I think what caused the shorts to cover was the BOJ policy actions and maybe some fears on the part of investors that this wall of money would come out of Japan and look for the highest yielding assets in safe haven markets like the Treasury 30-year bond.
Oh, and a reason, another, this again, this kind of is something I think that can get confusing. You got all these different dynamics going. Because traditionally, if you see a yield curve flattening, and I guess in some sense you could say, oh, well, that's why the yield curve flattened, because the job report was not as strong as forecast. So, less optimism on the economy, the curve flattens, right? Because a steeper curve would have to do potentially, right, with a view of a stronger economy, maybe even some rising price pressures. But again, I think this is what's so difficult. You know, we just have to ask you questions. We don't have to manage bonds, right? We don't have clients we have to advise. But trying to figure out just where you want to be and what the dynamics are when the curve is maybe reflecting different things.
Well, what the curve has reflected really for the past 3 to 4 years is the fact that the Fed has anchored the funds rate at 0%. So the curve is kind of like a market directional lever. It steepens when rates go up because twos don't go up in lockstep. And it flattens when rates go down. So, you know, that big short covering rally that we saw, on Friday, certainly had an outsized impact on the FI's bonds curve, because that's where a lot of people were caught the wrong way positioning-wise. And that's why we had that huge 12 basis point flattening move.
Bill, today we had BlackRock, Rick Reeder is saying that the Fed's bond buying tactics are a, quote, large and dull hammer that have distorted markets and risked stoking inflation. Now, you know, plenty of people feel like they can, I suppose, criticize the Fed for what it's doing. But does the Federal Reserve take any notice of somebody like BlackRock's Rick Reeder?
Well, I'm sure they take notice of it. I mean, it was Fed Governor Jeremy Stein was the first Fed governor to stick up his hand and express concern about market functioning under a QE regime. Indeed, overnight, officials in Australia are very concerned about a wall of money pouring into Australia over the next 2 years, and specifically into their risky or higher-yielding markets because of the actions taken by other main developed world central banks like the Bank of Japan and the Fed. But I think from a Fed perspective, they're well aware of the risks. They say that all the time. Yet when they look at the efficacy of their QE program, they love the fact that stocks are going up. They love the fact that the unemployment rate is going down.
Yeah, and I mean, the Fed chairman has said that he's not going to repeat the mistakes of the Great Depression, right? He's not going to stop this too soon.
No, I mean, the lessons of 1936 and 1937, I think, loom large in the psyche of the Fed. You know, they raised reserve requirements and went on an austerity program that dipped us back into the recession.
But you know what? The thing that I think is, I'll just say this so quickly, is the Fed maintaining stimulus when it keeps buying bonds, or is it becoming ever more stimulative when its balance sheet grows by $85 billion every month?
Well, for the size of the balance sheet, the stimulus is probably less. But their perception is that the results of the stimulus are still greater than the risks of the balance sheet itself.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Well, there you go. And you're a guy who should know, Bill O'Donnell.
I don't know. But, you know, and then we still have risks. We have risks from Europe, even though we're entering a quiet period. We have the German elections coming up in September, Italy probably following thereafter.
Korea,
and still sequestration effects over the next 3 to 6 months.
And all that helping the Fed keep those long-term rates down. Bill O'Donnell, thank you so very much for joining us today.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.